Okay, good morning. Welcome to EMP. Let's turn to Luke chapter 9, and we're going to be reading from verse 1 to verse 13. Luke chapter 9, verse 1 to 13. And he called the 12 together and gave them power and authority over all the demons and to heal diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to perform healing. And he said to them, take nothing for your journey, neither a staff, nor a bag, nor bread, nor money, and do not even have two tunics apiece. And whatever house you enter, stay there and take your leave from there. And as for those who do not receive you, as you go out from that city, shake off the dust from your feet as a testimony against them. And departing, they began going about among the villages, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Now Herod the Tetrarch heard of all that was happening, and he was greatly perplexed, because it was said by some that John had risen from the dead, and by some that Elijah had appeared, and by others that one of the prophets of the old had risen again. And Herod said, I myself had John beheaded. But who is this man about whom I hear such things? And he kept trying to see him. And when the apostles returned, they gave an account of all that they had done. And taking them with him, he withdrew by himself to a city called Bethsaida. But the multitudes were aware of this and followed him. And welcoming them, he began speaking to them about the kingdom of God and curing those who had need of healing. And the day began to decline, and the 12 came and said to him, send the multitude away, that they may go into the surrounding villages and countryside and find lodging and get something to eat, for here we are in a desolate place. But he said to them, you give them something to eat. And they said, we have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish, unless perhaps we go and buy food for all these people, for there were about 5,000 men. Amen. Last night I came home from the office about 6-ish, came home, you know, went into the room to unpack some things, and Micah came running into the room with a little piggy bank that we had purchased some time ago, and he said, look, Appa, you know, look, I have a piggy bank, and I'm putting money in it for God. And I was kind of pleasant surprise, and I was like, oh, yeah, right. And I was like, yeah, and there's a song that we sing, and I said, yeah, because God is great. And then he ran out of the room, you know, happy, and he also yelled, yeah, because God loves money. So a little mental note, I was like, okay, a little correction. I got to, you know, when his vocabulary expands, you know, I got to communicate to him, God loves you, right? He doesn't need your money. You know, as a children's pastor, I got to make sure he gets that teaching. But I thought it was funny, and then I read this passage I was preparing, and it's very clear, as it points out, that God doesn't need our money. That in fact, as Jesus is sending out the disciples, the 12, he's telling them in verse 3, you know, take nothing for your journey, meaning that I will fully supply your needs, meaning that everything you need, I will provide, I will empower. I like this passage kind of in hindsight. I never kind of looked at it this way, but it's almost like a little mini mission trip in a sense. Not so much in the distances that they're traveling, but sort of the mindset and kind of the heart in which they're traveling out. In verse 1, Jesus says, and he called the 12 together and gave them power and authority over all the demons and to heal diseases. He sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to perform healing. And so you have this kind of like this short window, pocket of time where they're being sent out, and they're kind of their mindset, their mode is like, yeah, you know, I believe, you know, we've been assigned, Jesus has empowered, and I'm going to do amazing things. And, you know, on a positive note, but also on a kind of not negative, but something we could be encouraged in is in missions, we kind of get into that mode, right? Like, yeah, this is like 2 weeks or 1 week. You know, in churches that I grew up in the past, missions was actually 8 to 10 weeks. And so one of the things I really appreciate about summer missions teams, or one of the things that I've observed, is that, man, people are ready and willing to sacrifice in above and beyond in some ways that they are kind of under normal circumstances, you know, when they're back home in their workplace or whatnot. And one of the things that is really encouraging to see is individuals, right, who normally, you know, their standard excuse is, well, I'm not good at that. Well, I'm not able to do that. You know, I don't have power to do that. you know, you ask them to do a testimony or a sharing or somewhat, you know, in a church context during a Sunday service, and sure enough, you know, people will come up with, you know, various types of reasons why they can't. Some good, some not so good. But in missions, you know, a requirement that we have the first day we meet, right, is that you submit to your leaders, and that you do as they lead, right, and trusting and praying for your leaders to be able to direct. And so one of the things I really appreciate is, you know, hey, you're going to give this testimony. Hey, you're going to give this Bible study. Or, hey, you're going to do this teaching. And they just kind of swallow it in the sense that, okay, this is a short period of time. Right, I know and I believe as a team that we've fasted, that we've prayed, that I've prepared, that I've trained, and I have complete confidence in God. And then the beauty of seeing an individual, right? And when I talk about excuses and whatnot, I'll try to tie this in. But while I was in college, I wanted to transfer to another university, and I was studying. And a couple schools I was looking at. One was a business school at Berkeley, Haas. Right, undergrad, and then the other was at University of Southern California, Marshall. And I was, I had privy or the privilege of being with a lot of the Berkeley students, and so I was going to a college campus ministry, and so I got, you know, a lot of essays and a lot of help from a lot of the junior, senior students who had made it into the school. And so one of the things they were, driving, obviously there were several factors that the admissions would be looking at, but one of the key things was, you know, to be original. And so what they didn't want was the same old story in the sense that, yeah, you know, when I came to college as a freshman, it was a new experience, a new dynamic, and if you sent in or submitted an essay like that, you'd get rejected because everyone goes through that, right? Everyone left their family, you know, for the most part. Everyone is put into a dormitory for the first time. And so a lot of the excuses that people give when you ask them to serve in some capacity, you know, whether it's children's ministry or whether it's on the worship team or giving a testimony or you know, on that fateful day you may be called one day to share a morning devotional. You know, the excuse is common is, yeah, I can't do it. Of course you can't do it, right? If we were asking you to do something we thought you could do, then it wouldn't be as a greater testimony. It's something that we believe God can empower us to do, right? And so in missions, you know, this past summer, you know, I was able to see Jungmin give a whole seminar on inner healing. And you guys are familiar that, you know, he's one of the members in our Cascade team here at church. And, you know, same excuse, right? This is something I've never done, but I didn't hear it once until after he actually gave it. And so sort of this submission and this kind of like this willingness to serve. And here's a thought I came to. Why is it different on missions, right? Why is it in a one-week span of time or a two-week span of time we're willing to submit and give all and die to ourselves in certain aspects, but then in the church on a regular, you know, outside of missions context, you know, sometimes we're unwilling to submit to the same leadership, to the same people that we're praying for and that we're entrusting to. So just a thought that I had. But in any case, you know, seeing him and being able to see the empowering of God working through him and, you know, literally a storm came in the midst of his sharing. The lights went out, electricity went out, and just watching God moving through this person, and it was like amazing. This is not Jungmin, right? This is the power of God. And he's like walking down the aisles because the electricity, the mic went out. He wants to get engaged. And people were just, you know, so hungry to hear and to receive. And then to have him actually teach and then to lead an inner healing session in the context of the whole group. It was amazing. And that's what God does, right? And a key thing, three kind of key points I want to remind you guys of this morning, you know, is God may be calling you to something. And would God call you to something that he didn't think that he and you could do together? Right? Do you think God would call you to something that he would just kind of throw you out there on your own without empowering or enabling you? And that's not the case. So, you know, one key reminder for myself, for us this morning, you know, when being called or being in a ministry, and no doubt, you know, the enemy's going to give attacks and bring fears and doubts. One reminder is, one, I'm dead and will do whatever you ask. That's a constant thing that we have to remind ourselves, for myself daily. I'm dead, I've died to myself, and I'm alive in Christ. Okay, two, I've read enough of the Bible personally to know that God empowers, meaning that the Holy Spirit is the one that takes charge, right? If I really empty myself and stand behind the cross and claim God's Spirit in me, I've known and seen enough of the Bible to recognize that God always shows up, right? Countless experiences in my personal life, in generally being a really, really shy person, you know, through high school and through college and whatnot, it was, a shocker to me when my college pastor came to me and said, you know, would you consider serving as the college president? I was like, are you kidding? Like, you made a mistake. You know, I did a double take, a triple take. And the reason why was because I was so focused on what I thought I was and what I, you know, my inabilities or whatnot. And it was so obvious, you know, as a leader now, looking in hindsight, I can see this person was seeing not what I was, but what I could be in Christ. And beyond that was a servant's heart, right? Before anything, before any leadership or any role of service was ever given to me, all I ever did was to literally wash tables. And to be very honest, I loved it. Right, because to me at church, I didn't like being, you know, in the front. I like being in the back. In fact, I love giving God the things that no one else wanted to give. That in fact no one else would recognize. And so to me, the jewel or the gem of the day was after Sunday service, taking the snack trays literally and just going to the back and washing them. And I would sing praises. And I don't know that they recognized or saw this attribute or heart. But it very much reminded me of I'm not comparing myself, I'm just, you know, an example, but, you know, the heart of worship that David had before he was called to be a king. See, before he was called to be a king, before, who was it? Jeez, was it Samuel? No. Nathaniel? Pastor Salamat? Was it? Anyways, before the prophet came to call on David, Samuel, before he became a king, he was a shepherd boy, right? And in the back valleys, while he's shepherding his sheep, you guys remember, you know, in the Psalms, he would be strumming his harp, right? A heart of worship. And I'm telling you, you know, that's what God was seeing. The capacity and the willingness to already give his heart fully, regardless of the circumstances, regardless of the responsibilities given to him. I believe that this is what God saw in his heart. And so when Samuel came, you know, like so much of us, you know, we look on the outside or the fleshly, but God saw his heart of worship and his willingness and the capacity in which God knew that he could walk into what he wasn't yet. And so, you know, a lot of us, you know, we've been asked to serve in a capacity of ways, in a various capacities, and for whatever reasons, we've turned them down. And you know, it logically can make sense. Well, I'm not good at singing. Well, I'm not good with kids. You know, I'm not good at discipling or leading. Right? But you've totally discounted and taken out the opportunity for God, what he sees in you and wants to make into reality in you, to bring into fruition. So one, again, just a reminder, a constant reminder, die to ourselves and I'm alive in Christ, right? That's what baptism is all about, right? It's a symbolic action that we're taking. We're literally, when we go in the water, we're dying to ourselves, right? And then when we come back up, we're new life in Christ, right? We live that. And that's just not a one-time event. It's something we have to do every day. And two, I'm confident and have complete faith that God will empower me for the things that he's called me to today. And three, when you receive that faith, run with it. And I've said this in, you know, various ways before, but man, don't give the enemy an opportunity to plant a seed of doubt. I mean, it's almost, you got to be cocky, right? Like, no, this is a done deal, right? I'm going to run. You know, sure, you might make mistakes or slip-ups along the way, but I'm just going to take it and I'm going to run. God, you asked me to do it. I don't believe you'd call me to do something that I didn't think you would be able to accomplish in me. So with that faith and with that word, I'm going to run in it. So, amen? Okay, I kind of got away from the scriptures here. I got a little excited. One thing that happens when people obey and when people go out and when people proclaim in verse 7 is that people start getting perplexed, right? And what I mean by that is when the people of God are living in faith, are receiving and obeying and proclaiming, then naturally the people around you are going to get a little shuffled. A little, hey, well, this is not normal. This is not my normal routine. This is not my standard lifestyle. When the spiritual, when what God has spoken and what God has in us comes into face-to-face with the non-spiritual or the non-believers, there has to be a reaction, right? So they have to come to that confrontation where, okay, well, what's going on here? Am I going to believe or am I not going to believe? Now, when as Christians, when we're just doing the norm, and when we're just kind of filing in line and kind of, you know, fitting in, then nothing gets ruffled, right? Life seems normal. But when people walk out in faith and are living out in faith, then sure enough, man, your workplace is going to get a little bit of tension. Sure enough, individuals are going to have to come to a confrontation or a crisis of faith, right? As we say in EG or belief. And just to close out this particular passage, you know, we're familiar with the 5,000 fed, and you know, just one quick note as we wrap this up, you know, the disciples knew, right? And this is why I think maybe Jesus was kind of upset. The disciples knew, factually, that there was nowhere for these people to go, right? It says here in verse 12, right? And the day began to decline, and the 12 came out and said to him, "Send the multitude away." This is what the disciples are saying. "Send the multitude away that they may go into the surrounding villages and countryside and find lodging and get something to eat. For here we are in a desolate place." Right? They knew there wasn't a place where they could get food right there, that they would actually have to trek, and that some of them were already tired and had already trekked a great distance to be here. And so Jesus presents this awesome opportunity, right, for them to serve, for them to experience and encounter. And sure enough, a lot like what we do, immediately when the request comes, we start to highlight and check what I don't have, what I'm incapable of doing, instead of who it is we're walking with and who it is that gives us authority and power. Amen? So let's bow our heads this morning. And let's just meditate on a few things today. You know, some of us have already heeded or already, you know, obeyed the call and are serving in church in some capacity. And invariably the enemy will come and bring doubts. And I just want to, you know, encourage you and challenge you and remind you this day that, man, we have died to ourselves and that Christ is alive in us. Impossible as it may seem, sometimes we forget that. Man, we have died to ourselves. We made a conscious decision with heart, mind, soul, and body that I'm dead to myself and that Christ, you live in me, and I believe in it with all my heart and with all my life. And Jesus, with every area of my life that I'm incapable or every area that I'm not good at, that's just a greater testimony waiting to happen of people being able to see and observe, and not that I live or serve, you know, for them to see, but that they might be encouraged to recognize that, man, Christ is able to perform all tasks that have been called on me, whether in ministry or whether in the workplace, right? I mean, sure enough, in the workplace, we get called to positions or assignments that seem way above and beyond our abilities. And that's not just a workplace thing. That's a God thing. That's an opportunity for us to increase. You know, Pastor Sam was saying we had our house church meeting, you know, leaders meeting last Sunday, and we want to kick it off in 2 weeks, our house church ministry. And it's the very things that you don't want to do sometimes that you need to do. The things that are most uncomfortable, right, that you need to face, right? Because God's going to grow you. Those are the things that God's going to stretch you in. And on a second point, you know, as we meditate, you know, if we need to plan our weeks 1 week at a time or 2 weeks at a time, you know, and if we need to have that kind of missions mentality, right? Time, I think, is probably the primary factor in why we're able to submit or commit to a short, intense period of time. But I mean, in reality, if we recognize, you know, how brief and what a vapor our life is, man, in every circumstance, in every situation, man, our King deserves the best. And I'm susceptible to this, and I confess it myself that, you know, there are times, you know, where I sense and God's Spirit is speaking, and, you know, maybe you should go pray for that person. And the first thing I say is, ah, you know, who is that? I don't know that person. Or, oh, I got to get off the next stop. Right? And just immediately discounting that opportunity that God wants to do in you, that God wanted to partner in you, with you. So let's just pray and meditate on these thoughts this morning as Monica leads us in a song of worship.
More you, Lord.
Our first prayer point this morning, let's just give thanks and praise to God and Jesus that He's given us life and life abundant, and that we have complete confidence that He walks with us, right, in the day-to-day things, and give Him praise in advance, right? Not for the things that have yet come, but in advance for the things that He's called you to, that you're struggling with, that you haven't yet seen fruition or victory in. Give Him praise for that now. Not when it happens or when you feel like it's going to happen. But let's give thanks and praise to God for His vision, for His eyes that He sees in us far beyond what we see in ourselves. And that we'll truly walk in the light of Christ when we recognize this. Okay, so let's give praise and thanksgiving in advance. And also for other people who are struggling, you know, to heed the call or struggling to come into service or obedience. Pray for them that they would recognize this same truth, that God, when He calls us, He walks with us. Okay, so let's pray for ourselves and others. Secondly, let's pray for our ministry leaders within our church. You know, anyone that serves in any capacity, from cleaning crews, you know, on a monthly basis, or welcoming, you know, PowerPoint, worship, you know, Sunday school teachers. You know, pray extra for them, for, you know, IP, for our pastoral staff. Just pray covering, you know, over every ministry, our board of our ministry boards, our missions committee. Our youth group, Saturdays, teachers, just pray covering over them that God would empower and that the lies of the enemy, the flaming arrows, would be extinguished by truth. So let's just pray and cover all our ministry leaders, our house church leaders especially. Father, we thank You, God, for this morning, and we just proclaim, God, you know, if we've ever thought this thought, Lord, God, there is no comparison to the life we have now to the life we had before knowing You. And I don't know how that ever even, you know, becomes a thought that's contemplated, God. All I know that is that if we're not living fully in You, God, if we haven't fully experienced You, and if the light of Your love is not truly in us, God, then sure, you know, a pig's trough or whatnot might look appealing. But God, we have seen your light. We walk in your light. Your spirit lives in us. And God, there is absolutely no comparison. We just proclaim that now, Lord, if we've ever had that thought. Jesus, that you are the way, the truth, and the life. And God, this day, today, I live for you. And God, this day, today, we're so excited for the things that you're calling us into. God, the things that you've already called us into and the things that you're going to walk us into in the future. God, because we believe in your everlasting love, your empowering grace through your Holy Spirit that lives in us. Father, we are more than able to accomplish the things that you've called us to today. And so, God, we walk out of this place with joy, with peace, as more than conquerors, as Christ, your name above us, your banner over our heads. Lord, we bless your name. We love you, Lord. We celebrate you today. We worship you. God, every moment of the day, God, over every meal, over every quiet time, over every interaction or every deal or every relationship, God, we just say we worship you every step, every breath of today. We thank you, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.